Hello, church family. It is so great to be back with you. I wish we were in person, but I do know that as our staff is making plans right now about reopening, I want to say thank you for filling out your survey to help us understand where to go from here. But it won't be long that we'll be together again, worshiping God in this facility. But thank you for your patience with me and my family and your grace as I have taken some time off to be with my family during this journey that we're on with my bride. And I just thank you so much for your grace and for all that you've shown us and your love and your phone calls, your texts, your cards, your emails. I mean, just countless ways and your financial support, just so many things I can't begin to say thank you enough for. But I also want to say a special thank you to my friend, Pastor Corey, our executive pastor, as he has stood in the gap for me to allow me to fully release the responsibilities that I have at the church over the last few weeks in order to focus on my family. He's done an amazing job preaching for me the series of When You Pray, When You Fast, When You Give has been an incredible series. He's such a gifted communicator and an educated communicator. If you're just joining us and you haven't been with us in a while and you haven't heard me communicate yet, you'll see that I'm nowhere as good on the communication side as Pastor Corey, but I guess because I've been here first, I get to be the preacher of the church. But Corey's certainly qualified, and I love him to death for his talent, his skills, and his heart to be able to communicate. I want to say thank you also for your faithful and fervent prayers for my wife, Jana. As you guys know, she was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. In that diagnosis, it was determined that the cancer had spread to multiple organs in her body, her liver, her lungs, her pancreas, lymph nodes, multiple places other than that, her cancer has spread to. And we're so grateful for the fine team of doctors that God has led us to at Moffitt. And we're just praying that God, through medication and through miracles, will do the impossible and just make sure that my bride is safe and is restored. And so we have a confident hope in our God, not in man, but in God. And we believe with everything in us, with fervency of prayers and a shameless audacity that we've been learning about together, that we're going to pray and just ask God to do a miracle. He is the God who heals. He's known by Jehovah Rapha, and he can demonstrate his healing power for my bride and even for you if you're going through something like that in this season that you're facing. It's been a real time of adjustment for our family. And again, thank you for the grace and all the love that you've shown us through cards and through meals and through phone calls and financial support and even those that have helped doing some yard work for us. It's absolutely a big deal. My kids and I are picking up a lot of extra responsibilities in the home. I know my wife is busy. I know she does a ton of stuff at home, but wow, what a void it's left right now having her in a time of healing for the time of the things that need to be picked up. What's crazy to me is I didn't realize that my kids want to eat every day. They want a meal every single day, and so that's been difficult. And the other thing that's been quite interesting is the amount of laundry. I don't know. I never realized how much laundry is done in our home throughout the course of a day. It just never stops. And so, typically Janet does the majority of the laundry, but I'm a big belly acher. I hate putting laundry away. And so God's really doing a great work in me as a husband through this season, teaching me how to do those things that I have always just been so blessed that my bride has done. I have a new capacity for it and a new joy, but I must admit, I've met my nemesis in the laundry stack, and it's with that dreadful fitted sheet. God blessed us with allowing us to go away to a beach condo, and that condo that we went to, we brought our sheets, and so it'd be easy for us to just, when it came time to go, we wouldn't have to do a bunch of laundry and reset the bedding. We could just take our sheets home and do it. So I've been doing a lot of sheets recently in our laundry and have come across that dreadful fitted sheet, and we have a drawer. We keep all of our sheets in our house, And that drawer, it's a limited capacity in that drawer for the sheets that we have. And so it's important that we get these things compact. And so, folding that fitted sheet has always been a problem. And so what I did is what any guy would do when you need help to do something that you've never known how to do before. I just went to YouTube and I figured out I'm going to learn how to do it, because with YouTube, you can do homemade stitches. And on YouTube, you can figure out how to remove a tick. I had to do that recently. My son had a tick. You can learn how to repair anything on your car. YouTube is a great wealth and source. And so I watch videos on how to fold a fitted sheet. And it's actually pretty easy. When you watch the video, you can see it's really straightforward. They give you great education, step-by-step directions on how to do it. And so today, I just thought you'd be in for a real treat if I would be able to pass that knowledge on to you. And so in just a moment, I'm going to teach you how to fold a fitted sheet. And so if you want to join me and learn yourself and finally conquer this demon in your life, I want you to pause this video, go into your closet, grab a fitted sheet, and come back to this video and hit play, and I will show you how to do just that. So I'm going to demonstrate how this fitted sheet works. So it starts with a fitted sheet, and so be sure to get that out, and you'll notice there's the corners of your fitted sheet right here. And so you want to identify the corners of your fitted sheet. And so what you begin to do is you take this corner and you match it up with this corner. And then, I lost the corner, stupid thing. And so then you take, where's the corners at? The video says you take this corner and then you match it up with this corner. And then you try to, and so then what you do is you just fold it up like this, and you get a Walmart bag, and then you just take it and you put it inside the Walmart bag, and then you grab it really close to your chest like this, and you tie it off, sucking as much air out of it as feasibly possible. And then once you do that, it will fit in just about any space that you possibly have. Isn't that great? And so now you too have learned how to do this. Now, it doesn't just work with fitted sheets as well. I've learned that you can do this with leftovers. And so, but I like to use a Target bag. So let's say, for example, you have some shepherd's pie. And you can take that shepherd's pie and just stick it in here and just tie that thing up. And even if you have limited space in the refrigerator, boy, this will fit right in. So anyway, I just wanted to teach you how to do that, and hopefully you found some humor and joy in that. It's certainly, that's the way I cope with things sometimes, is through humor and through joy, and I hope that that has brought both of those things into your life. And I tell you this story as an illustration, not just to be funny, though. I tell you this story because here's a purpose, and here's my point. Just because I was taught and shown how to do this task, folding this fitted sheet, just because I was taught how to do that by someone who has given me a step-by-step instruction and a narrative and an explanation on how to do something, it doesn't necessarily mean that I have the skills it will take to master doing it. Not until I learn through experience and through putting it into practice will I be able to come to the time in my life where I'll be able to accomplish that task. Because it seems straightforward and easy. It seems almost too simple, if you will, to put into practice, but yet it is difficult to do. And the reality is that God's word is that way also. You see, for my family, my family knows God's word. And in the situation, in the season that we're in, we know that God loves us. We have read about God's sovereignty, and that we have seen God's sovereign hand. We know that God is all-powerful, and we know that God's word tells us, Isaiah 41:10, don't fear, for I'm with you. We know Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything. We know Matthew 6, where it says, don't worry about tomorrow, because each day has enough trouble of its own. Look, I know. I mean, I preach. I live in this lane of being able to understand the power of God's word. I've seen it work in your life. I've seen it work in my life. But there are times that you and I will experience in our lives that we will step into things that are deeper water than we've ever been, and will stretch and grow our faith in ways that we never thought possible, and in many cases didn't even want to have stretched in those capacities. And just because God's word gives us some clear ways in which not to worry and to not be anxious and to don't worry about tomorrow or fret over these things because God is with us, as much as I know that to be true, in my humanness, in my bride's humanness, in my children's humanness, there's been a wrestling going on. It sounds easy sometimes, and it preaches real well. And day after day and week after week, I have the opportunity to share from this place and to encourage you. But I feel like as I was preparing for this message today, my job was not to preach to you, but my job was more to empathize with you and to encourage you. This situation has taught me more about compassion and empathy and faith and prayer than I've had in a long time. Knowing that how hard it was to sit in the parking lot as my wife was inside the emergency room learning that she had cancer. Sitting in the parking lot while my wife is going through surgery, not being able to be along her side. Folks, I mean, these are just surreal times, difficult things to go through. But in that, I have learned that although this is, my faith is solid and my faith is strong, but folks, I'm going to be honest with you. In the Wells family, our faith has been rocked through this. And I'm telling you that with a full level of transparency because I believe the best way that I can help you as my church family, as my friends, is to be transparent with you as I disciple you through different times because there will be a time in your life, and maybe you're going through one of those times right now, where what you know about God's word and what you've read and what you've memorized is having a real hard time processing and fitting in the scenario in which you're going through. And while I don't doubt God's word is true, and why I don't doubt that God is with me, and why I don't doubt that he is sovereign through the situation that our family is going through, there's still some times that I have to remind my faith that in my human side. Can you relate to that? I mean, it's hard to fathom, and it's hard to put yourself in those cases because there's certain times that even though you know, there's just some times when you're going to say, I can't. I can't even wrap my mind around this. I can't even begin to pray. I can't even begin to encourage my heart with faith. There's just some things that it's this busy and noisy workshop inside my faith and in my mind and my entire family as we're processing all these things. And we'll always land on the fact that God is sovereign and loving, but it doesn't always make sense inside our heart and our mind. There's going to be times, and we're facing one right now in our family, where it's just hard to minister to your own self, and it's hard to pray. I can't tell you how important it is for my family to hear text messages and to see cards sent to us telling us how you're fervently praying for my family. Because there's some days we don't know how to pray anymore. We don't know how to lean into God any more than we have, and we're exhausted. We're trusting, but we need other people to stand in the gap. Sometimes you'll face situations where all your strength is gone. You'll feel like your faith is frail, and you'll feel like you are so weak. And it is in that place, this is an encouragement to you, I want you to hear, it is in that place when you feel so weak and when you feel so discouraged and when you feel so alone and when you feel so afraid that you will experience that God is with you. But not just the fact that he's with you. When you're all alone and when you cannot possibly do it, you will learn that God is with you, and that he is enough. Did you hear that? You will learn that God is with you, and even though you feel completely alone, you will learn what it truly means to understand that God is enough. When you're completely weak, you will learn that his strength is made perfect in your weakness. When you realize that Jesus is all you have, it will be in that moment that you realize that Jesus is all that you really needed. Recently, when Jana went in for surgery, she had left her wedding ring behind in the bedroom. And she texted me and said, oh, can you make sure that you put that in a safe place? I don't want to lose it. And so I went and grabbed it for her. And as I was carrying it to the safe place where she wanted it to be, I took my wedding ring off and I placed it in my hand and I held both of our rings together. Here's a picture of that. And I was holding both of our rings together, and suddenly as I was walking across the house, my marriage vows began to echo in my mind. And what I kept hearing in my mind was, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. I first met Jana in May of 1988, 32 years ago. And this by far has been the hardest thing that she and I have ever walked through. But it's what we signed up for. When we got married, we signed up for the good times and the bad times, for the magical moments and the memorable moments, for the hard times and the disappointing times, through mistakes and through failures, through joys and through sorrows, through depression and through addiction, and now through cancer. We signed up for this. We didn't simply get married on some promise that everything was going to be perfect. Now, we wanted it to be. I wanted it to be a fairy tale. I wanted her to be able to experience everything that her heart desired in a husband. But we surrendered our lives knowing full well that there would be times of great joy and there would be times of hardship. But we trusted that our love for each other would be enough to pull us through. And if you're listening today and you're struggling in your marriage and you're contemplating quitting because things are hard right now and what it is that you're going through, I want you to remind yourself that you did not get married in order to experience a fairy tale that you dreamed it would be. You got married and you made a commitment to one another for better or for worse. And when you don't feel like you can anymore, when you feel like you can't keep going on, you're going to be forced to lean into God in a way that you've never leaned into Him before. And you're going to realize that Jesus needs to be central in your marriage. And when Jesus is central in your marriage, you will realize that when Jesus is all you have, He will be all that you truly needed to begin with to be able to put your relationship back together again. You see, the marriage vows that we take to our spouse are very similar to the vow or the decision that we make to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we surrender our lives to our loved one in marriage, we do the same thing as we surrender our lives to Christ. When we give our life to Him, we're no longer living for ourselves, we're living for Christ. Just like in marriage, I no longer live for myself, I live for what my wife and I, we do together. But I didn't follow Christ because there was some promise that my life would be perfect. I surrendered my life to Christ for the good times and the bad times, believing that He was enough. Jesus told His disciples over and over again that if you follow Me, it's going to come at a great personal cost for you. And most of them, because they chose to follow Jesus, it cost them their lives. He didn't promise the disciples prosperity or comfort on earth. He just promised them that they would never be alone on earth. And He promised them eternal rewards that would await for them in heaven. When you surrendered your life to Christ, Galatians 2:20 says that I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. 1 Peter 3 verse 9 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, and it's kept in heaven for you, whom until the power of the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. And in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. But these things have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, though refined, even though it's refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The disciples followed Jesus Christ, understanding that they didn't follow Him because it was a promise of prosperity. They followed Jesus Christ because they surrendered their life to Him. And that means that they would enjoy the blessings of that relationship in the good times, and they would enjoy the confident hope that God was with them in the difficult times and that God would never leave them. They followed Christ for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, for good times and for bad times, in times of persecution and in times of great provision. And by faith, the disciples would learn, and so will you and I, that even in times that are difficult, in times where, humanly speaking, we've lost our way and we've got discouraged or reached the end of our capacity to be able to cope and handle what we're facing, we will learn that Jesus is enough. I don't know what it is that you're going through, but it's my prayer that this message is encouraging your heart. Recently, Christian recording artist Toby Mac lost his 21-year-old son to an overdose. Now, Toby is one of the most influential Christian music artists of our lives. I mean, he's several decades. This guy is still making incredible music, even this week, releasing some new music. Throughout his ministry, countless people have come to Jesus Christ. And in addition to that, thousands of people have returned to Jesus Christ because of his ministry. And you would, you would like, humanly speaking, that I'd like to see people like that, that God would just throw them a bone sometimes and allow them to experience some miracle that, because, I mean, after all that they're doing for the kingdom, you would love to see God be able to throw them a bone and protect them from harm or suffering, but yet they faced one of the greatest hardships that a person can face, the death of a child. And I'm sure that there have been days when Toby Mac felt weak and hopeless and broken and useless. Of all people, who could blame him for being mad at God after all that Toby and his family have done for the kingdom? But shortly after his son's death, Toby would write this on Twitter. What a powerful testimony of his confident faith in Jesus Christ. He says, "My wife and I would want the world to know this, that we don't follow God because we have some sort of under-the-table deal with him. Like, we'll follow you if you bless us. We'll follow God because we love him. It's our honor. He is the God of the hills and the valleys, and he is beautiful above all things." Folks, you and I don't follow God because our lives will be perfect if we do. You and I follow God because when things get difficult, he's always with us. And Jesus is enough, and he's all that we really ever need. As my family walks through this journey, we are praying that God would choose in his sovereign will and his joy to bring about a miraculous healing of my bride. Just like we've been talking about the prayer that we believe that, God, you can. We don't know if you will, but we will trust you even if you don't. We're going to lean into God in such a way and just know that if God chooses to do it, we're going to give him so much praise. We're grateful for the medical attention that she gets. We're grateful for the love and support of an incredible family and church. And I'm grateful for you being my friend. And I promise you, as we walk through this, that we'll be transparent and that we'll disciple you the best way we know how. Because here's what I know for 100% sure and certainty, is that my God is not going to fail me no matter what. Our God is always with us, walking alongside us through the good times and bad. And his grace will be sufficient for us, and his strength will be made perfect in our times of weakness. So how about you? I've shared with you in a candid way, a transparent way, of what's happening inside our family. But where in your life are you facing something right now where you're just saying, "I can't do it. I want to give up. I want to give in. I want to walk away from my faith. I'm not sure this is all cracked up to be what I was sold when I first came to faith in Jesus Christ." Maybe you've made a decision to follow Christ because it was some type of bargain that you thought that your life would be better, and things haven't worked out. Maybe for you, you need to go back and realize that that wasn't what you've signed up for. What you signed up for is to surrender your life to God through good times and bad times. Maybe today in your marriage, you signed up for marriage to be all this joy and fairy tale, and it hasn't turned out to be that way, and you're ready to walk out. And today you need to realize that I didn't sign up to be married to this person for just the good times. And right now the addiction or the struggle or the challenge that you're facing, although it's something that makes you want to give up and you feel so alone, you need to know that when you feel alone, that God is enough, He is with you, He is walking alongside you, and if both of you would put Jesus in the center of your marriage, He'll begin to do miraculous things that you could have never done in your own strength. Maybe you're dealing with a wayward child, or maybe you're facing right now something that you just are so overwhelmed with in the way the economy is going, and with your job, and with your finances. Look, I don't know everything that you're facing. But if you are someone right now that has found yourself in a place where you're doubting God, when you're wrestling with your faith, when you realize, I don't even have the energy to know how to pray anymore, when you're finding yourself in those darkest nights of the soul, it's in those moments, folks, that God desires you to find yourself in, because then He will prove to you He is enough and He is all that you need. What God wants from you is a sincere heart to pray to Him. When I say sincere heart, I don't even necessarily mean a kind heart. Sometimes, just like King David, I found myself praying to God with some frustration in my voice. He's big enough to handle my frustration. He knows how I feel already. He's wired me up to be this way. God wants to hear your voice laying down petitions to Him and allowing Him to do a great work inside of you. He wants to know exactly how you're feeling. And when you finally are fully transparent with God in your feelings, and you come to the end of yourself, you will discover that He is with you. He's never left you. He loves you. And He is absolutely enough. Over the next few weeks, I expect to be back with you preaching, and as things take a turn or change, or from the positive or negative, I may have to take a Sunday off here and there, but just, you know, continue to pray. We'll walk alongside, but we'll be together soon. But we have to be healthy, and we have to do it the right way, and we're going to do it responsibly so that our community will know that that we're doing it the right way. So thank you for your participation with the surveys and those things. I can't wait to see each and every one of you. Right now, I'm sending a digital hug to each one of you, and I know that I feel those hugs coming back as well. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you.